This passage, Jesus, when in Luke chapter 4, he walks into the temple in Nazareth. And he steps up to the scroll where they're all they read. And in the Jewish synagogue, the people that would speak that day would step up and they would take a scroll of the reading that was assigned for that day, and they would read the assigned passage for that day. And Jesus, immediately after he was baptized and tempted in the wilderness, he came into Nazareth and he read this passage of scripture in the synagogue. And Jesus speaks about not just what Isaiah was talking about, but Jesus actually speaks about himself. And it was so ordained that God had already planned that this scripture would be the scripture that would to be read when Jesus stepped up to that lectern there in the synagogue. And Jesus begins to tell these words in Isaiah chapter 61 about how the prophet Isaiah had prophesied hundreds of years ago, looking for the Messiah that was to come and what the kingdom of God was going to be like. What the kingdom of God not just was going to be like, but what the Messiah was going to do for those people who were able to hear his message. And he lays out his entire message of what he has come to do and what he is planning on help, how he is going to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. And Jesus reads this passage of scripture. And he says in Isaiah chapter 61, I'll read it first in the NIV. It says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them." And this is, I want you to underline that word bestow, which means to give, to impart, to put something in place for a reason. "To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Three things that Jesus mentions there. He says, I'm going to give you a crown instead of ashes. I'm going to give you oil instead of mourning. I'm going to give you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. In the King James Version, that last phrase reads like this: "To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise," notice this, "for the spirit of heaviness." For the spirit of heaviness. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I pray that you would take it and you would, Lord, inject it into our hearts, that, Lord, we might receive, Lord God, exactly what you want us to receive today. Father, I pray that you would lift us and lift our hearts, lift our eyes to see you this morning. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. I went through my closet this week, and I realized that there was only about 10% of the clothes in my closet that I actually wear. Anybody ever gone through your closet lately and you've noticed that there are clothes that you wear over and over? There are certain jeans that you like. How many of you have a favorite shirt that you like? You know which shirt that is. You've got a favorite pair of shoes that you like to wear. They're the most comfortable pair. If I were to wear those, I couldn't wear them on Sunday because I would get laughed out of the church. But there are certain pairs of clothes that we like, certain things that we put on a lot. And I realized that I have a whole lot of clothes that I need to get rid of. So we found out that in April, the first Sunday or first weekend of April, that we get to have a community-wide garage sale. Our neighborhood is having a garage sale. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, our garage sale in our driveway is going to look like the, you know, a clearance at Dillard's. We are getting rid of tons and tons of stuff. And I told Shannon, I said, you know, if I have to go down to 10 shirts and a few pair of jeans and a few pair of slacks or whatever. I am getting rid of all of this old stuff because it's just weighing down my racks. I can't even get clothes in there. I've just got old shirts that I haven't worn. I pulled out a shirt that I had that actually there was dust on the top of. You're laughing, but I'll guarantee you if I went to your closet, I'd find the same thing. Dust on that shirt. And I showed her and I said, look at this. Isn't that crazy? That just goes to show you I have not worn this shirt in so long. I'm getting rid of this dude. And I have just this closet full of clothes that I don't wear. And this morning, I just want to kind of address that because I believe in some of our lives, it's time for a wardrobe change. It's time for us to change our clothing. It's time for us to make a change in what we wear. Now, if you read and look in this passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 61, the Messiah, Jesus, he reads this of himself and he says, I have come to preach the good news. I've come to tell people that are always inundated by the bad news that there is hope out there instead of just despair. You turn on the television and all you're going to get is what's wrong with this country and what's wrong and who got murdered and what's going on in Flint, Michigan and the bad things that's happening overseas and everybody that wants to get us. But I want you to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of good news. It is something that uplifts us because the gospel of good news tells us that God is still in control and that He reigns over all the circumstances of this world. No matter how bad they seem, God is still in control. And Jesus said, I've come to preach the good news that I am still in control. I have come to bind up the brokenhearted, He says. But you know that Jesus is the healer of our hurts. He is the binder of our wounds. He is the one who takes care of those bruises that seem to plague our lives and to cause so much pain. He's the one who pieces us back together. He helps those wounds that I know that some people have had in their life for so long to be covered up and to heal properly. My son, he's sitting here on this front row here. He and brick walls and brick mailboxes just have this thing. And he had a wrestling match with a brick mailbox last week that sent him to the emergency room because the brick mailbox didn't give, but a piece of his nose did. So that's what this big, huge scab is on Seth's nose. It's because he had this, I walked in and him and some of his buddies are sitting in the kitchen. He says, Dad, I think I hurt my nose. And when he opened up the rag, a piece of his nose just kind of fell over. And I said, I think you did, son. That's pretty good. He said, well, what do you want me to do? I said, just wait till mom gets home. You know, it'll be all right. And they took him to the hospital and they put some super glue on his nose or something like that. And they did an x-ray and made sure that there was no concussion. They couldn't find anything in that x-ray. Nothing. No concussion, I mean, right? Found no problem. And they had put this patch over his nose and they bound up the wound. And even though there's a scar, even though it's going to scar, even though it kind of looks bad right now, he's not complaining about his nose. There's not blood. It's not fresh anymore. And Jesus is the one who comes when we are wounded by the world, when we are hurt by the people that shouldn't hurt us, when we have things that underneath the surface that we know that we are struggling with, Jesus comes to bind up our hearts and bring peace into that situation. If you're hurting this morning, Jesus is your answer. He's come to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim freedom and favor. I love this because let me tell you something. There is nothing that Jesus cannot deliver somebody from. And the good thing is that there is nothing that He can't deliver us from, but He always delivers us from something and delivers us towards and to something. So when he redeems your life out of the mire of sin and out of the mire of addiction and out of the mire and the hold and the grip that this world has upon you, he doesn't just say, okay, well, I've got you all cleaned up. What does he do? He says, I'm proclaiming freedom for the captives and the favor, the blessing of the Lord, for this is the year of our God. He says, I'm not just taking you out of something, but I'm placing favor upon your life. Now, you may not understand what that means, but that means this in just regular old, plain old, oaky terms. It means that just because you got out of something don't mean God's going to leave you there. He's got something special in store for you. There is favor that God wants to place upon our lives. And Jesus says, look, I come and I can redeem people. I can proclaim freedom and I can proclaim favor and liberty and blessing upon their lives. And he does all these things through the word, through his word. But when Jesus comes to our life, there are some things that he brings as gifts. And he speaks of this when he says, and I will bestow upon them. And he lists three things. He says, I'll give them a crown instead of ashes. Now, if you don't understand what he was talking about, Isaiah is talking about how people used to, in difficult times and challenging times, they would lay themselves in ashes. They would build a fire. They would let the fire go down, and they would let the ashes lay there, and they would just put ashes and cover themselves with ashes as a symbol of mourning, as a symbol of despair, as a symbol of sadness upon their life. Because whenever you have ashes, when you look at ashes, that means that's the remnants of what used to be life and lives. But there's ashes. And Jesus says, I've come to give you a crown. And if you think about what that means, what Isaiah is talking about, and what Jesus meant is he said, look, I'm coming to give you a crown to identify who you are. When Jesus came and he saved you and he redeems your life, he doesn't just say, okay, well, good for you, son. He doesn't just say, I'm glad that you got out of that lifestyle. He says, I want you to recognize who you are. You are no longer a child of darkness, but you are now a child of light. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are someone who has all of the benefits of the family. I was talking to one of our young men this morning, and I said, hey, you're part of the family. You've got refrigerator rights. When you come to my house, you can just go onto the refrigerator. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've got friends like that. They walk in and they don't even knock. They just open the door and come on in. We've got people that do that at my house. They go into the kitchen. They know where the cups are. They know where the plates are. And they know where the fridge is. And they just open the fridge. Some of Seth's friends, that's why I have to buy groceries every other day. Seth's friends come over and I'm like, did you just eat that whole bag of chips? Really? And you identify with the crown of who you are. The Lord places a crown upon us and bestows a crown upon us. Instead of being the person whose life is over and who's burnt out and is a symbol of what used to be, now it's what you are. You are a child of God if you have put Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life. I'm going to give you a crown. I'm going to give you oil. I'm going to not just identify who you are. I'm going to identify what you can do. The priests would put oil from the top of their head to the sole. They would pour it over their head and it would flow down over them. The oil representing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that oil would be used in the sacrificial work of the priests in the temple. And let me tell you something, when the Spirit of God, when the oil of God, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is no limit to what you can do in this life. Because the Spirit of God is the one who gives us the boldness to speak up. The Spirit of God is the one who gives us the hands to do the miracles, because Jesus says, I'm going to work through you. He comes, he's the comforter. He is the one who is our great teacher, the Bible says. He gives us the oil, the presence of the Holy Spirit, telling us what we can do. But he doesn't just stop there. And this is where I want to just spend the last bit of time that I have with you. He says that he gives us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair or a spirit of heaviness. Now, I know that life sometimes can get heavy. How many of you would agree? Life can sometimes get heavy and the world seems like it's just resting on your shoulders. Decisions have to be made. Things come to our mind that, that weigh on us. They keep us awake at night. We wake up in the morning thinking about some of those things, and life becomes hard to bear. It just becomes just heavy. And there are three anchors that we have in our life that really slow us down. Three heavy parts of life. Number one is the anchors of our past. It's those sins that were there that we can think of. Those are those things that we're ashamed of. I mean, I look back at my life pre-Christ and I think, you know, there are times in my life when I was ashamed of the things that I have done, things that I'd said, failures in our life of our past that challenge our integrity, failures in our relationships, failures in our integrity, failures in our character of who we are. Hurts and wounds that others have caused us, these anchors that just seem to drag behind our life, they cause life to get heavy, because if we constantly reflect over on those things of our past, it just makes our life heavy. It turns it into a drag. You've got those anchors of the past. You've got weights of the present. How many of you know that it's challenging and stressful in today's job market? I mean, it is. The economy is a challenge sometimes, and job stresses are heavy. And it seems like the more that you do, the more that the boss asks for you to do. Thoughts of work just consume you, and making things happen, family tensions, just present things. You know, you can get so busy in life that you just feel like you live in a house full of strangers. You pass each other going and coming through the front door, and communication problems begin to develop, and it just begins to cause life to be heavy, because when your present relationships are not working out right, it just makes your whole life just feel like a burden. It's just heavy. And then there's the burdens of the future. We don't know what's going to happen. But we seem to always fall into this hopeless cycle of thinking that the way things are is the way things are always going to have to be, and nothing's ever going to change. We have decisions that have to be made. We're uncertain about what we're going to do, and we wonder if we're doing the right thing, and we don't know if it's the right thing until we get there. And if we get there and we don't like it, then I don't know what I'm going to do. And those things just weigh on us, and it just causes life to be heavy. Our past, our present, future things. David said this in Psalm 69:20. He said, "Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness." I mean, even David experienced heaviness in life. Jonah is another guy in the scripture that experienced some tremendous heaviness. I mean, this guy is thrown overboard in the middle of the ocean. He's thrown overboard, and you would think that would be bad enough in the middle of a storm. But instead of just being thrown overboard, he's swallowed by a ginormous fish. And he swallows Jonah, and he holds him, and he held Jonah, and Jonah is just, I mean, I know that it's bad enough to smell bad fish, but when you are in a fish, there was probably no comparison to what that smell was like. Paul and Silas, they're another couple of guys that experienced the heaviness of life. Paul had a horrible past. He had sat and watched people be executed because he was with the Pharisees, and he watched them as Stephen was stoned. Silas was a young man who undoubtedly had a past that was similar to Saul's, but thank God that they both found Jesus. And he and Silas, for the simple reason of proclaiming the gospel message, they were thrown into prison. Helplessly, without any hope, they're placed into stocks in the belly of a prison. And life for certain was heavy upon them. Pressure and life. But there's some things that we can do when life gets heavy. There are some responses that we as Christians should have when life gets challenging and things get heavy in our life. We need a wardrobe change. Because Jesus says, "I have come to bestow some things upon you." And sometimes we'll take the crown and we identify who we are. And we receive that presence of the Holy Spirit on us, and we know what we can do. But there's times when we need to take off the heaviness that we have, and we need to put on something else. We need to place the garment of praise upon our life. When heaviness becomes a part of your life, it's time to do a wardrobe change. Let me just speak to you right now. Some of you have carried a burden, carried heaviness on your heart. Maybe it was a relationship failure, and you've tried to work that out in a number of ways, but still you just feel this heaviness every time that person is around. You've tried to plan for your future. You've tried to make decisions and make wise financial decisions, but still there's this heaviness of just making ends meet. You've tried to hope for things to go well, you know, in your job. And it just seems like that every time that you roll into that parking lot, a spirit of heaviness just comes upon you. Let me just tell you, you need a wardrobe change. It's time to change clothes because you've allowed heaviness to take over your life. You need to put on a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. And here's the reason why. Because, number one, God dwells in an atmosphere of praise. The Bible says that in Psalm 22 that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people, which means God interweaves Himself into the praises of His people. He dwells in an atmosphere of His praise. You see, praise and lifting up the name of the Lord is not a reaction to the presence of God. It is the vehicle into the presence of God. We don't begin to worship the Lord and thank the Lord and lift our hearts to the Lord and bless the Lord because we feel the Lord. We do that as a way to get into His presence. It is a sacrifice sometimes. There have been moments when I have had in my life where I have received the worst news that I could receive. And I remember driving down the road with the windows rolled up and I've got the radio off and I'm just playing this thing over in my mind. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God just speaks to me and He says, you need to just begin to praise me. You need to just begin to praise the Lord and let those things that are so heavy upon your mind begin to release. And I'll promise you, as I begin to praise and lift up the name of Jesus, all of that stuff that just seemed like it was just a weight upon my mind begin to shrink in the presence of God. Because as I begin to praise the Lord and lift up the name of the Lord, His presence began to just fill the cab of that truck. And I felt the Lord say, it's going to be okay. Because praise dwells, God dwells in the atmosphere of praise. Praise and lifting up the Lord is a gate pass that gets you into the presence of God. The Bible says that we enter His courts with thanksgiving and His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. People think that praise is a response to the Holy Spirit's moving, but actually it's the other way around. God's presence responds when we begin to move toward Him in praise. So as you feel that heaviness upon your life, what you have to do is you have to begin to start taking that garment off and you start having being placed, letting the garment of praise be put back on you and put on you so that you can lift up the name of the Lord and so that that heaviness will be removed from your life. Stop dealing with things that keep you heavy and begin to praise the Lord through those situations and allow the garment of praise to take over the spirit of heaviness and despair. When you go back and you look at Jonah, Jonah's in that stinking fish belly. 3 days and three nights, the Bible says, and he responds like this in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit up Jonah on the beach, and he did. It's amazing when we begin to praise the Lord how things in our life begin to start working out. As long as you focus on those issues and those things that are weighing you down, and the more you try to solve them, the more you feel the weight of those things upon your life. But as you begin to look to Jesus and you begin to declare that He is the Lord of all and that He is your provider and that He is the one who can repair those things that you can't repair and He is the healer of our wounds and that He is the one who shows favor, when you begin to get your heart into that praise mode and you begin to wear that spirit and that garment of praise, it's amazing how those things just begin to change and things begin to happen in your life that you could not orchestrate on your own. Paul and Silas in the bottom of that jail. I can just see them. Paul and Silas, their head and their hands in those stocks. Paul looks over at Silas. He says, you uncomfortable? Silas like, yeah, man. What'd you get me into? He's like, well, I didn't know it would be like this. You hungry? Yeah, man, I'm hungry. Did you bring anything to eat? Yeah, but I can't reach it. You sleepy? Yeah, man, I'm sleepy, but it's hard to really sleep, you know? What do you think we should do? How about this? And I will taste, see that you are good. I will taste, see that you... Yeah, I like that. Let's sing that. And I will taste and see that you are good, good to me. I will taste and see that you... In that moment, they begin to praise the Lord. All of a sudden, they weren't locked up in the bottom of a prison. But because they changed the garments, that heaviness was lifted off of them. And instead of seeing themselves as prisoners and captives in the bottom of a prison under the weight of the world, underneath things that they could not control, they turned their eyes to Jesus and they began to praise Him in the middle of their circumstance. And all of a sudden, God began to do something in their life. And that prison was shaken, the Bible says. And their stocks and bonds began to, they fell off. And the guards ran in and said, "Hey, what's going on?" He said, hey, I don't know, but the Lord has done something amazing." He said, "Oh, prisoners are gone. I gotta end it all because they're going to take care of me." He said, no, nobody. We're all here. We're all here. Let me just tell you what happened." And that soldier, that guard gives his life to Jesus Christ and commits himself to the way. Why? Because somebody chose to change the clothes that they were wearing and put that garment of praise on instead of the spirit of despair. Your wardrobe change can change the atmosphere all around you, in the lives of people around you. Instead of joining in with, "Yeah, this stinks, this is a horrible situation," you just say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it." Amen. Praise changes our circumstance. Praise cuts the anchor of our past. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a solid rock and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be astounded. They will put their trust in the Lord." Praise will cut the anchor of your past. Quit dragging that dead past around with you and let the garment of praise be placed upon and unhitch that anchor of your past. Praise lifts the weight of the present. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "I will cast you, if you'll just cast all your cares or your anxieties on Him because He cares for you." Stop worrying about what's going to happen today. Stop worrying about what's going to happen at the job on Monday. Begin to just thank God that you have the job. Stop looking at the present circumstances like things couldn't be so bad. Or things are so bad. Let me tell you something. We've got it pretty nice. If you've traveled extensively, you know what it's like in other places. I watched a video this week of a group of people in a very small tribe in India who had recently received the Word of God in their own native language. Never had they read God's Word in their own native language. It had always been an oral thing. And as they pulled that thing off of the plane, as they pulled those Bibles, the first time ever, they pull them off the plane. The people gathered around, and you should have seen that place. It was crazy. They were praising God because for the first time, the Word of God had come to them in their own language. My friends, there's a Bible available probably on every corner. You may have multiple Bibles in your house. The Word of God will inspire you if you'll just go and find a place in God's Word that will speak faith and speak help and speak good things into your life. Let the Word of God challenge you and open up the doors that the world has closed in your life, because the Word of God will help you move through the present heaviness that you have in your life. Praise cuts the anchor of the past, lifts the weight of our present, and praising the Lord casts off the burdens of the future. There's a song that goes like this. It's an old song. It says, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I'm leaning on the everlasting arm of God. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have any fears that are so big because I have blessed peace with the Lord so near. I'm leaning on the everlasting arm of God." Praise gives us hope. Whenever we feel overwhelmed, whenever we feel like that it's hopeless, I want you to understand that is the moment that you lift your hands up to the Lord and you say, "Lord, I just thank you for who you are. I praise you at this very moment. At this very moment, I lift up the name of Jesus and I thank him. I honor him." And you can take my word for it. You will feel this heaviness begin to lift off of your shoulders. You'll feel the weight of the world begin to just become lessened until you realize that that weight is gone because you have, in your spirit, you have changed clothes. Your wardrobe has changed. Daniel, would you come this morning? I'd like for you just to bow your heads all over this room this morning. It's easy for us to get suffocated by cares. It's easy for us to get discouraged by things that this world sets in front of us. It's easy for those things to happen. But as believers, there is something that's very important for us to recognize, and that is this: that Jesus has come to preach the good news. He has come to bind up broken hearts. He has come to proclaim freedom and proclaim favor upon your life. And we have to praise him and turn our hearts to that. That's what praise does. It turns your focus from your problems and from your heaviness into Jesus. When you do that, you have changed clothes. You have changed your wardrobe from a bathrobe of heaviness to a garment of praise. This morning, I just want to invite you to search your heart and say, "Lord, do I need to go through the closet? And do I need to make a wardrobe change in my life? Do I need to get rid of some heaviness that just keeps settling over my life and causing me just to struggle?" And I'll just ask you this question: how long has it been since you just lifted your hand to the Lord and let a big smile come across your face and you've said, "Jesus, you've got this. It's all in your hands. I'm so thankful that I know you because you have got this worked out. It's going to work because you are in control, Lord. You reign. You are in charge, and I'm going to give it to you, Lord." How many would say, "Pastor, it's been a while since I've really done that. It's been a long time since I've just really just went in and just changed my clothes and said, Lord, I'm just going to turn it over to you." And you allow the joy of the Lord, the oil of gladness, the oil of joy just to flow over you, and the Holy Spirit just begins to do something in you that nobody can do. How long has it been since that's been your story? This morning, I want you to just recognize those of you who are struggling with maybe some heaviness in your life. You say, "Pastor, life's been heavy. Life's been heavy." You say here, "This morning, I've understood exactly what you're saying because my past has been just a weight for me. My past has been something that's just anchored me down. I've been living, you know, thinking about things in my past, failures of my past." Say, "Pastor, would you pray for me so I can unhook that anchor?" You're here this morning, just slip your hand up. Say, "Pastor, that's me. My past is just dragging me down." Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, God.